We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
Studio at the ABC at Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel. It's Colin Buchanan, Tommy Dean, and Jennifer Wong. And our audience this week from the Central Coast, Wingerlow, Ryde, Warrenora, Hillsdale, and Mona Vale. But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. Now, a few weeks back, the head of Coles told Four Corners that she had never heard the term Colesworth, the popular way of denoting the supermarket duopoly. This disappointed me, ladies and gentlemen. For decades, Australians have gone to the effort of inventing jokey titles for the corporations that rule our world, only to now find the bosses were not paying attention. Is Gerry Harvey also not aware that behind his back, many of us call his business hardly normal? Is James Packer aware of the thought that rises from a million motorists as we spot Crown Casino glinting in the distance? Ah, yes, Packer's Pecker. Do the Bing Lee family know it's really called Bung Lee most of the time? The term Colesworth has certainly been around at least since 1960, when the great Australian journalist Ross Campbell began using it in his columns for the Australian Woman's Weekly. Also, we have form when it comes to making up mocking titles for our corporate overlords. In decades past, the airline industry particularly excited our creativity. According to the collective wisdom, TAA always stood for Try Another Airline, while its competitor Ansett would be accompanied by the phrase Chance It With Ansett. Foreign-owned carriers did no better. Delta stood for Don't Even Leave the Airport. And BOAC, well, that's spelt Better on a Camel. The contempt was turned up a notch when it came to car companies, mainly because of our need to criticise every brand other than the one we happen to drive. So Ford stood for Fix or Repair Daily, Fast Only Rolling Downhill, or First on Rubbish Dump, while Holden was decoded as heaps of loud, dangerous engine noises. This was aside from all the other jokes, of course. My favourite was, have you heard about the rear window heater in the latest Ford? It's to keep your hands warm when you're pushing the bastard. Even imported vehicles were rewarded by nicknames. Jeep stood for Just Empty Every Pocket. Fiat was an acronym for Fix It Again, Tony. While the name Lotus spelled out a warning, lots of trouble, usually serious. Why have we always put such effort into coining these terms? I think it's a refusal to be treated like mugs. We know these companies have invaded every part of our life. They overcharge and underdeliver. The least we can do is reveal we know what they're up to. And so KFC becomes the kids' fattening centre. While McDonald's, aside from the fond Maccas, is more harshly described as either Rotten Ronnie's or, in its abbreviated form, as an acronym for Most Articles Contain Copious Added Sugar. Do government departments also earn these nicknames? Not often, although I do remember the DMR, you remember the Department of Main Roads, being called Delicate Men Resting. As you drove past to see them. Now, sometimes the brand name is recruited to comment on the behaviour of others. I cite this example from the Macquarie Book of Slang. Cadbury, derogatory, a person who needs little alcohol to get drunk, derived from the phrase, a glass and a half, used in their advertising. Now, admittedly, I've never heard that one in the wild, but I have heard Colesworth, and I hope the boss of Coles now not only knows the word, but what we mean by it. What we mean by it is the two big supermarkets are indistinguishable, and it's by intention. So could we have a bit of competition sometime soon from the two companies we call Colesworth? And that's the news from nowhere. Now, welcome. I want to check that you're up with this week's news.
Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's fast becoming the latest trend?
Fast
What's fast? Fast becoming the latest trend.
Fast as in fasting.
Exactly.
As in speech fasting.
Speech fasting.
This is an interesting development, and the thought has never, ever occurred to me.
I'm doing it right now.
That's why I should have gone with you guys.
No,
you're not.
The trend is, just to explain, you know how there's a trend not to eat before midday, you know, you fast. This is, you don't speak before midday, and it's designed to help you be more sensitive to people who can't speak, like babies, and to rest your vocal cords, and to become a better listener, ladies and gentlemen, better listener. So you don't say anything until midday. Do you think you could ever manage that, Colin?
No, not at all. But I did think... There could be some positive side effects, like I could see an explosion in the mime industry and the popularity of charades. But that's about it.
What I mean. I think that's the problem, is that the morning is one of the most difficult times of the day when you don't have your mind ready for creative problem solving.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to somehow figure out what the sign language for large latte is.
Yeah.
And argue with a barista who's also fasting at the same time, trying to decode how many sugars this means.
Yeah.
So I good morning. Good morning is hard. I think that even just the actual fact that we say good morning to people when we see people in the morning is a way of saying that's all I got.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get into it. We save "how are you" for the afternoon when it might blow up in your face that somebody answers the question.
Yeah.
But well, good morning shuts it down. Good morning.
Well, you're already on a restricted speech diet in the mornings, aren't you, really? You may not be fasting, but you're being very cautious with your word usage.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I think there should be some parsimony? Parsimonious?
Yeah.
I don't know why that word has occurred to me, because it's the afternoon and my mind is awake. That would never come to me in the morning.
Coming inwards.
Yeah. That's right. I'm binging. It's like Ramadan in the morning, and now it's all just feast. Inviting all my friends in. Here's some words I've read about, never used, looking forward to trying them out.
It would be bad for speech therapists.
Well, they wouldn't be able to operate at all.
Not in the morning. It would be good if they could accredit it, because then, kids could get early entry to monasteries.
Jennifer Wong, could you manage this?
I actually manage this every day because I live alone, so there's actually no one to talk to until I leave the house. But one of the upsides of this, I think, is if you lived with someone who was doing intermittent fasting and they talked about this all the time, then you would get a break until noon before you actually heard them talking about the fact that they weren't eating.
Because the people who aren't eating are inveterate talkers, aren't they?
Well, you've got to do something else if you're not using your mouth to eat, right? Yeah, so it's a lot of nattering and But I think the idea of this was that one of the things was that babies don't talk, and if we don't talk, then it would increase our empathy for babies.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that babies have every one of their needs taken care of, have no responsibilities, and sleep a lot. So, frankly, I think that babies should have some empathy for us.
And also, and I don't speak for all babies.
Although I
but
was
I have,
one.
I have had a couple of babies in my time, and my feeling was they didn't know many words. So I feel that if we are not talking to the babies in the morning, we are denying them their future, which, now that I think about it, would make them quieter as teenagers. Oh, I support this now that I've worked it out of my head.
Who is bugging the authorities about needing a clean sweep? Who is bugging the authorities about needing a clean sweep?
Do you have a song about this, Colin?
No, I don't.
Oh, is there?
Do you want me to tell you more?
Well, no, I mean, I know what the story is. I just thought this felt like a prime candidate.
Yeah, no.
We've got sponges in the morning and some towels in the afternoon.
Okay, this is about.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, this is about the superbug problem, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Because all this antibacterial plastic and hand Satanizers and all that stuff.
Satanizers.
It's just my little nickname for it. I call it that, especially in churches, actually. I feel very naughty. It's apparently creating superbugs.
Yeah.
And
the supermarket's now full of these antibacterial
products.
And they kill 98.9% of the bugs. But what happens to the 1.1 they don't kill?
Exactly.
They become superbugs.
Can we say that together? They become
superbugs.
They're being forged by evolution to defeat this, and then they can defeat anything.
They can because they're
superbugs.
Now, Monash University wants us to ban these products. What do you think?
Well, I think Monash University probably has invented another product that they are about to sell on the back.
This sounds like corporate shenanigans.
It does.
Talking it down.
It does.
I mean, it's been a problem. I do agree that this has been, we've been talking about this on and off.
But you reckon they've copyrighted vinegar or something?
Yeah. But we've been talking about this on and off for years. The fact that, you know, we clean our houses too much, so our kids, who now are mute, are crawling around on floors that are too clean and don't build up a natural immunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I've said this to you before. I recognized this problem early, and so instead of using sponges to clean the counters of my kitchen, I use raw chicken breast. Which picks up most things, but leaves a veneer of get hard fast.
Yeah.
Or you'll die.
Yeah. Does it leave those little green animated things that are in the ads? Have you seen those?
Like the superbugs.
Yes. Like the what?
Yeah, because in the ads, all the surfaces are covered with these little green things,
animated things,
and then usually the mother comes in, and the implication is if you don't use the product, you're a bad mother. Because the whole kitchen is full of
superbugs,
and you're a bad mother if you don't spend the $4.95 on the product rather than using vinegar, which works quite just as well.
Yeah, hence the name Satanizer.
Yeah.
I think what people haven't grasped with this antibacterial frenzy, this antibacteria, no, it didn't work, is that the immune system is a great thing. I've become a big fan of that. And like we say, you do need a few nasties around the place to build it up. And
you need to challenge it, right?
Yeah, you do. It's like you mentioned KFC earlier. You can be cured. You can be cured from KFC, but you've got to build your immunity. You know, like, so you've got to be exposed to it. You think, maybe it's not so bad. So you go and have some, and then you realize it's not real good, is it? And in fact, over Easter, I had a little bit of potato and gravy, which I hadn't had since a child.
Mm.
It was a treat back then. But no, it's just peppery Perkins paste. And so I think we could tell the therapeutic administration organization and Monash University, I've been healed from
your KFC addiction.
No.
What do you expect from the kids' fattening center? That's what you get, Jennifer.
I think Monash is doing a good job of getting the TGA to pay attention to regulate this thing, because the problem with superbugs is that it means we might get infections that antibiotics can't deal with. Sorry, this section has just a lot of clean jokes. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to be easy for the TGA to wash their hands of this situation.
No, that's good.
It's not something they can just flush down the toilet. So I think we just have to... I know that Tommy was talking before about how this story has come up before on this show, and I just love the idea of a virus kind of recurring on this program. And it's just infectious the way everyone's getting into this.
I should, at this point, as a health working professional, step in and point out there is a difference between a virus and a bacteria.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know what it is.
No. It's like...
That's not my department. No.
But you know somebody who knows what
it is. I'd have to file them in two different places.
Now, I would say bacteria are pretty more... They've got the common touch. They're a little friendlier, whereas the viruses are more the cool guys.
Look, it sounds like no one knows, so let's just let this germinate for some time and move on.
Who is... last question from this week's news. Who is taxing our patients when it comes to working up a sweat?
Oh, my goodness.
Who's taxing our patients?
I love this story. So gyms want us to be able to claim our gym fees, our gym membership, as a tax expense. And this is just nuts because it's just like everything else that we're taxed for. We're paying for things that we won't use or don't use. Sorry, that's very harsh on gyms. I have a funny relationship with gyms, actually. I have taken a long time to find one that really vibes with my workout personality.
What is your workout?
Well, basically, Richard, the other day I was walking around, I saw a gym. I found the gym for me. It had a sign on it that said, "We have shut down." And I was like, you know what, guys? Yes, that's right. Things don't always work out. Sorry.
So you could only give them $100 and then claim it back on your tax. Everyone would be happy. Do you think the rest of us should be paying for these people to go to the gym?
Well, if stinky, sweaty, awful, yucky gyms can be tax deductible, why can't we make music 100% tax deductible? Stoutens the heart, lifts the spirit, gets us all singing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hear them? And, whereas gyms, and how are they going to... How are they going to just, audit this? Are they going to...
You'd have to send the Commissioner of Taxation a picture of your guns.
or they'll come out to your place for a random, like, give me 50 now. And if you can't give it to them, it's like, hang on a minute. You claimed fitness expenses. Like, for instance, my wife does the Zumba. at the Sutherland Gym. Hello to everyone. And there are people in that Zumba class, I won't name them, but she comes home with stories. They don't take it seriously.
Oh, is that right?
No.
Well, this is Angela,
kicks,
Bronwyn
kicks.
And Betty, right?
Yeah. And their kicks have no snap. Their scissor lifts, you know, there's none of that. Woo-hoo! I don't think they should be able to claim that on tax unless they really commit.
So they need to be tested out. What do you think, Tommy?
Well, I'm confused by the idea.
Their theory is that if they go to the gym, they'll become healthier, that'll save the taxpayer money on hospitals and stuff.
But these things are just full of governmental loopholes. Like, I remember years ago when I had my first private insurance, it had a kickback for health things. Like, if you did things to be healthy, you would get money back that off your payment. And I bought a golf bag.
To hold chocolate.
Yeah. I just used it as a secondary rubbish bin for recycling night. But I got paid back for that. You know, I got paid for shoes I never put on. I think we're offering up, like, I think that, what's the audit? I think the percentage is probably reality. 70% of gym membership doesn't go to the gym. No. It's like the idea of it. You buy a gym membership so that you feel better for yourself that you belong to a gym. Yeah. And there's no need to go to it.
Well, you lose weight mainly from the dollars that are coming out of your wallet, right?
So my point is, I just don't think that these people need a financial incentive to continue to not go.
All right. We will vote that down here on Thank God It's Friday with Colin Buchanan, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong.
Yes. Yes.
And Thank God It's Friday. You're on ABC local radio throughout New South Wales. And we have our team here, Colin Buchanan, Tommy Dean and Jennifer Wong. Jennifer, by the way, is doing her show, The Sweet and Sour Hour of Power, May 2 to 4 at the Comedy Store in Moore Park. What was that title again?
The Sweet and Sour Hour of Power.
You have to go with a show with a title like that. Now, on radio this week, we've been talking about the things that divide people when making a cup of tea, milk in first or milk in last, or whether it's blades down or blades up when you stack a dishwasher cutlery basket. Then there emerged a controversy I didn't even know was a controversy. Some people, it seems, put their sock on one foot, then the shoe on the same foot, before addressing the other foot with sock, then shoe. Could this possibly be true? And is there any point to it? Jennifer.
Oh, my goodness. I love this story so much. I think this is the image of someone with a naked foot. Meanwhile, the other foot has got both a sock and a shoe on it. It's just hilarious.
It's quite common, though. I learnt to my
really?
Horror. Yes.
But why?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you put both your socks on first? Purely for emergency reasons, right? So if something happened after you put both your socks on and you had to leave your home, you could safely, with protected feet, pad out into the world
and like be okay.
But what if you've got one boot on and one boot off?
What are you going to hop outside? Everyone will laugh at you. Look at that person with one naked foot. It just doesn't make sense.
Tommy, does it make sense?
It makes total sense.
Myself.
In fact, I don't even know why you're making fun of my morning routine.
It's a form of sock fasting.
Yeah. Because the reason I do it that way, what I do is I actually pull on the left leg of my pants first, then the sock, and then the shoe.
Yeah.
And the reason I put that shoe on first is to keep the leg of the pants from sliding off when I stand up to put my other leg in the pants.
Yeah. And then,
then the other sock.
Question without notice.
And then the other shoe.
Question without notice. The undies.
Yeah, exactly. Straight over the top. Superman style.
Well, I believe the word is commando.
Oh, hello. Okay.
My underwear is fully intact. Yeah. Like, it's one piece. I mean,
if you put both legs into the undies, why doesn't that then inform the rest of the operation?
Well, because underwear is basically a torso sock.
It is.
Well, I mean, like, quite literally. Now that I think about it, it's a sock. So I both legs at once.
It's a bum sock.
Floom. Floom. There's no left leg, right leg. It's both legs at once.
Straight in.
Yeah. Like from a sitting position.
Yeah.
You tuck, roll, boom.
Bow.
Yeah. And then the first leg in.
Yeah.
And then the sock and the shoe to hold the pant.
Yep.
And then the second leg and then the
you
pant.
Need, have you ever you been need. Interrupted halfway through this process?
All the time.
Yeah.
It is awkward when dropping your kids off at school if you don't complete the process. I will admit that. And it was my mistake. I should have known that since I had been interrupted, I probably shouldn't have gotten out of the car to say goodbye to the kids. But you eventually learn. Yeah. And that's the other thing is that, I always go left side first because at the time I drove a manual. So you had, in an emergency, I needed the shoe on the left foot to drive the car.
Yeah.
Who's a manual?
He was my driver that we can no longer afford.
Colin Buchanan, does this make any sense to you? I was quite surprised that people do this.
It did sort of get me thinking about those things that are, points of conflict, small matters. And so I did think I'd have a little crack at a song about that. Why do you do what you do when you're putting on your shoe? Why'd you do it? Tell me, why'd you do it? What's with the one sock? Why are you going with the two? Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? You meant to put your sock on both of your feet. Then you get your shoes and you hit repeat. Why do you do what you do when you're putting on your shoe? Why'd you do it? Tell me, why'd you do it? Get off my back about the lack of my dishwasher stack. Why'd you care where it on the top or the bottom or the front or the back? Oh no. You can rinse, you can shuffle, you can shout, you can scream. I just want to get it in and start the machine. Get off my back about my lack of my dishwasher stack. Hey, I learned to squeeze the toothpaste right. You learn to squeeze it wherever you like. I ripped the box for the recycle bin. Love throwing every big box in. I want the aircon at 20 degrees and you go for 30 and say you're freezing. I think it's clean when you say it's a mess. I say more when you say just do less. I say keep it and you say throw it. One more thing and I just want to know it. Why do you do what you do when you're putting on your shoe? Why'd you do it? Tell me why'd you do it? What's with the one sock? Why aren't you going with the two? Why'd you do it? Tell me why'd you. Well, you meant to put your sock on both of your feet. It's been that way since Adam and Eve. Why do you do what you do when you're putting on your shoe? Why'd you do it? Tell me why'd you do. Why do you do what you do when you're putting on your shoe? Whoa, yeah. And.
So how did you work Adam and Eve into that? What was the point about Adam and Eve?
Well, Adam and Eve been putting on their socks and shoes.
But they don't even have a bum sock, right? They have no socks at all.
Everyone's a critic.
This is dividing the nation.
It is. I did see a certain sort of wardrobe issue with Adam and Eve, but it rhymed.
Yeah.
And the hour was late.
And the hour was late. Well, it was.
I feel
fantastic.
Bad though because we had that. I could hear that with the trio, the super trio.
Oh, the super trio. I could
have been right
why'd
there.
Why'd you do it? Tell me why'd you do it? You could hear them.
See, when they're harmonizing, that's one of my favorite things in music, especially like harmony marks, is when there's like everybody's together and then there's that. I don't know what the musical term for it is, but they come back with that little at the end. You know, like what's up with the baby?
Yeah, the baby.
And it's like somebody forgot or just didn't quite catch up. I'm here now.
They're on their phone. Some parts you can throw to the, like Coldplay now, you can throw the woe to the audience. They'll do it, no problem. But I threw them, why'd you do it? Tell me why'd you do it? That is not an audience sing-along part.
No. And we looked right at them and they were trying to work out how to answer you.
Sort of
they wanted to answer, but you kept singing.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to do a gesture, which is bad radio.
Yeah. I think the answer was, we now know why your wife is spending so much time at Zumba. That's Hey, who wants to do the Wheel of Death?
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
I do.
Our lovely audience have thrown these random topics onto this Wheel of Death. There are resuscitate. Pomegranate.
Let's just stop there.
Let's bring the sagacious.
Bring the
hop, pea. Is that wood? Sumo, Rain, Amiga, Rissol, ACDC, Alkaline, Cheese, Kiss, and we're back to resuscitate. Which ones fill you full of fear? Tommy Dean.
Resuscitate, because I take that very seriously in my role as a health front worker. No. Health working as a frontline health worker.
Frontline.
We do not make fun of resuscitation.
No.
It's the R in the acronym that means resuscitate.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope, beyond all hope, that that one doesn't come up as we spin the wheel. And where it stops, no one knows.
Breathless.
Oh, very close to resuscitate, but no, it's pomegranate.
Pomegranate.
What? Pomegranate. Who suggested pomegranate? Get out.
Oh, man.
Pomegranate.
You can do this, Tommy, needless to say.
Well, every now and then, my general theory of Wheel of Death is, when people ask, how do you do it, is I say, you just pick a side. You love it or you hate it. And then I try to change that each week, you know. And then I just know that two weeks ago when we were here, I hated it. We made fun of Cupid, and we had a hard go.
Oh, Cupid, that's right.
And we were, I was very negative.
Cupid with a little bow and all the arrow.
Freak baby. And and then it got mythological. Yeah. And then now here we are with pomegranates, and I know that the pomegranate is very central to some myths and Roman.
It exists across many cultures. Fertility, right?
I was thinking it was the one that determined how long somebody had to go to hell. It was basically the winter seed.
Ah, okay.
Isn't that the story of the?
I know it's in every Ottolenghi recipe.
It is. To be fair, I love pomegranate as an idea. Like when you look at them from the outside, they have a certain sort of ancientness to them and an exoticness in the fruit department, and they always look good. I do love a fruit that you don't know until you open it.
Yeah.
I do like that. And I also know that no matter how good a pomegranate is, because I don't know how to gauge ripeness, I assume not brittle. That's my guess. Mm. If it has a little bit of give, when you split it open, then you are presented with what appears to be the inside of a lady frog.
Yeah.
Just seeds. It's just seeds. There's like no fruit. It's all seeds, like the apple, a couple of seeds, you work around them.
Okay, but the seeds are yummy, right?
Well, that's the weird thing about it, is that's the fruit. The fruit is the seed. It's like passion fruit. It's the same idea. Passion fruit is just unformed pomegranate. It's like it was trying, but it couldn't figure out how to jelly itself up a little bit. Yeah.
So passion fruit is a pomegranate
passion fruit
ambition.
Is like seed slush.
Yeah.
And pomegranate is, they're called jewels.
Yeah.
The jewels of a pomegranate.
Is that right?
Gee, that's good. That's correct, I believe. Where did that come from in your memory bank? That was quite impressive.
It was. A lot of people don't realize this, but I read a lot more than I talk.
Is that you're fasting?
Yeah, they come up. But what's weird is they're so benevolent, these jewels. They add such a little, they add so much punch for so little presence.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the pomegranate. They are the key to any salad. If you want to have a salad, and everybody's like, ooh, salad is terrible, sprinkle some jewels of pomegranate on it, and people are like, oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah.
They are the MSG of the fruit world.
Yeah.
But what's weird is they're so delicate, and yet the Western way of extracting them from their shell is with violence. Yeah. The way that you get pomegranate jewels out is you cut the fruit in half, and then you get a wooden spoon, and you bang it, and you bang it, and you bang it. Or, I can see someone in the front row, Deb knows very well, that you cut it down, you slice down the side. Oh, yeah, if you open it up on the quadrant, they open right up and peel out like a happy smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing. But I suggest violence. So much more fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have so many wooden spoons. Have you never noticed that?
And you know,
everybody
use,
in here,
you
I
can't
bet,
use
in your
the
third drawer down, have more wooden spoons than you've ever thought. How did they even get here?
Yeah.
Like wooden spoons just appear out of nowhere. And then you use them to beat your pomegranate. Also, this will shock you. They cost a lot of money. Just so we're clear, and that's how you work out your anger with the cost of price of rice. Well, I mean, the rising price of life is, you know, you're like, oh, I'll just have this one fruit, which is really just a bunch of tiny seeds. How much would that be? $9.
Oh.
Bah, 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 bah. You got to sort out all the pith around it. Do not get the pith involved. You know what else is good? Pomegranate molasses.
Mm, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, pomegranate molasses. You get that in your fancy delis. And add a teaspoon of that to your dressing, and then add the jewels as well. Happy days. I use the pomegranate a lot, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
It's one of my key ingredients at home. I have the pomegranate molasses, pomegranate syrup, which is like molasses, but a little bit sweeter and a little bit thinner. The pomegranate itself, and in a car, I have a car that I use specifically. When I'm doing, sometimes you work in quantity. Like if you want to make your own molasses, you need heaps of pomegranates. So what I do is I save up for like months, and then you just attach like all the cut pomegranates to the edge of your garage, and then just hit it with a car.
I've heard about those pomegranate cars.
Yeah. It's like a Ford. It's an old Ford, but it's got like a grate. The grate
on the front.
It's got to have a tight wind grate at the front.
Because you got the trick is to damage the skin, but not to hurt, not to bruise the jewels.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about now too.
I think at least half the audience know what I'm talking about.
And the jewels protected by the sock undies.
Yeah.
Does he win? Does he die? Does he live?
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Tom Buchanan, Tom and Jennifer Wong. Now, a Norwegian carpenter has had a 10-centimetre ruler tattooed onto his index finger to make it easier to measure things while at work. How could various other professions customise their bodies to make their jobs easier? Colin Buchanan.
I did think about this. So here we go. There's no, just for the audience, just put them at ease. There's no participation in this.
The front row can return.
I'm going to tattoo my songs on my skin, so the lyrics are there on my dermis. No more shuffling around with those sheets on the ground, because I'm one of those slow lyric learners. I'll start with the songs most requested, the ones people say are fantastics. The songs I know stink won't get no ink. I just stick to my hits and my classics. Kid. Oh, no, you can't change key before this. Wait. Wait, what key am I in?
Becky, are you still here?
I don't think I'll tattoo, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's quite easy to remember, whoa. There's space on my back for libretto, but it poses a practical problem, 'cause one's back tends to be a little harder to see. It's tough to read song lyrics off 'em. I can definitely remember, whoa, 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 whoa. Think I'll save money without the whoa. I should tattoo my songs on my skin.
I thought the idea was a zinger. I don't know why I like that line, but I love it. Gonna give it a try like that Norwegian guy with a ruler tattooed on his finger.
Wow. You could have some sort of three-way mirror system to read the lyrics off your back.
Well, you'd need some sort of reflective device or a GoPro and a monitor.
Or you could just or you could put on a bit of paper.
A bit of paper, that's genius.
Or could you use some bed linen, you know, like just like sheet music?
What do you think? How could other professions use this technique of the Norwegian carpenter?
Well, I worked in retail for a long time, and I would have liked to have like a possible spinal adjustment any time I needed to like bend over backwards for someone. I think it would be helpful if any of us who were stepping into a new position were able to grow our feet. You know, they always say you'll have some big shoes to. No, but legitimately, I sit down a lot for work because I'm writing all the time. And I'm really glad that when I was in my 20s, I had the foresight, I guess, to know that one day I would be in my 40s wanting to have like a posterior that was kind of quite plump and comfortable to sit on.
Yeah.
And so when I started to eat all those biscuits all during my 20s and 30s, that paid off. So that's just a cute tip that anyone can do, really.
Preparing a writer's body, you have to start early, right?
That's right,
It's very noble. Tommy, how could various professions use
There's so many options. I mean, I don't even know. Again, I'm weird like how connected I am to all the stories this week because I have a very similar 10-centimeter tattoo. It's not as reliable for measuring, but... I mean, at the time that I got it, I thought it was fun. It turns out it's quite inappropriate to use in a lot of situations. How big is this TV, I ask myself, when I'm in the shop.
Does it help you when you're buying socks?
For a while. But then I find some of them a little tight. It's funny. I thought the same as a writer. I write as well. And I thought it would be cool because, you know, we're so used to using our fingers now to swipe screens and make things happen. What if... one of your fingers could just like a mechanical pencil, you know, like have inserted, just come out with a, you know, like a tiny bit of lead just pops out the nail.
Would you sharpen that?
Yeah, like lead nail. No, you're like a mechanical pencil. You just like you just do that.
Like a pencil. Like,
yeah, you just like, cock your finger a few times and the lead would shoot out.
Lead would come out.
Yeah. You just write, and you just pop back in.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I thought that'd be nice.
Better than sharpening it, isn't it? Because then if you sharpened it, the finger would get shorter and shorter.
Well, that's true.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying the finger. I'm not. My finger's not lead. It's in like a mechanical pencil.
Yeah.
So my finger stays the same.
Yeah.
But the lead is inside.
And by the way, just again, we've had these ideas.
It's
before.
Probably carbon, really, more than lead. Now that I think about it. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, I was just going to say, just the copyright laws. This is Tommy's idea. Can we just identify it as that? Because someone's going to run with this, and we want to know where it started.
Yeah, you should definitely patent it to be safe.
2B.
Very good.
Safe.
Your other hand, Tommy, would you have an eraser?
Oh. It would have to be in the thumb.
The thumb?
Yeah, real pressure. Okay. That'd be good. Yeah. It reminded me of the guy that had he had his Opal card inserted into his wrist so that he could beep, beep, beep. I think that'd be quite handy. Yeah. I think that would be fun. I like the pencil. I thought you were going to have your hand rearranged so that you didn't have to carry a capo. I thought if you could like have your fingers broken into such a form as that. So when you wanted to change keys more dramatically,
No, I was thinking of just growing two of my toes to be fingers so that they could clamp the guitar. And of course, I'd probably need an extra, probably two knees. So the thought has crossed my mind. And that was my idea, by the way. So,
Excellent idea. Pilots, I think, would be fun if they had, like, their altimeter in their eyes. You know, you not have to, like, work with the navigational control anymore. Don't trust the computer to make mistakes. Like, if they just had the level, like, as you move their, like, then they would know their eyeballs would shift. I mean, like, I wouldn't want to be on the first plane. until they perfected the technology. But I think it'll be fun. Is what I'm saying. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun if you had some sort of amplification. If there was a way to, you know, have an inbuilt sonorous sort of amplifier. So when you need to speak out. I don't mean like, you know, they're like doing shows, but if there's a time when you're like crying for help and it's hard to yell and you're not a loud person, if there was a way to like just like in your like a, just a pectoral amplifier,
just like a little volume switch.
Yeah, the switch is right there. Yeah. Now that you think about it,
yes, the switch is there, one on each side.
They're right there.
They are switches.
You can be treble and bass.
Yeah.
Careful, Tommy. I think you just rubbed out your right nipple.
No, I was using my pencil finger, so I colored it in.
Thank God it's Friday now. Daylight saving ends in the early hours of Sunday morning with the clocks going backwards so that you have the hour between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. all over again. What are you going to do with the free hour, Jennifer?
Well, out of empathy for babies, I will be speech fasting.
Oh, nice.
Yep, very good.
Also known as asleep.
What are you going to be doing with the extra hour, Colin?
Ah, well, I'm going to I play guitar. I can't remember how this song goes, but it'll sound like the last one. I think it was like, I'm going to turn back the clock at 2 a.m. I'll get that 3,600 seconds again. Oh, no, I made a mistake. It's meant to stay there. I'm going to think about this song every single minute. Was I right or is it wrong to have one chord in it? Did it sound too samey? Was it too repetitive? Was it a real upper or was it a sedative? I'll be tossing and a-turning to the left and the right. Did the audience like it or were they just being polite? As the seconds tick, I'll be feeling sick about my one-chord song. And did it go too long? Was it misdirected? Was it too unexpected when I just stopped it quite suddenly?
Tommy, just quickly, how are you going to spend the extra hour?
I'm going to do what I do every year at this time. I'm going to go around and put all the clocks forward an hour so that they fall back to the still on daylight savings time hour.
Yeah.
And the next day is very weird for my family. Because they're going to argue all day, why didn't the clocks change? all the clocks change back automatically, but I fixed them.
You fixed them. Who are the winners and losers of the week, by the way? Jennifer?
The winners are the Australian wine market because China has lifted tariffs. So lots of winemakers this week have had their spirits fortified. and the losers of the week are us, anyone who eats cheese. The price of the grocery cheese block has gone up to its highest prices ever. That means now that you really need a mozza in order to buy mozzarella. You could shop around for a feta deal, but basically you're e-damned if you do and you're e-damned if you don't.
Okay. Tommy, who are the winners?
Sorry, Adelaide. This is one of my favorite rounds of the AFL, the Gather Round, where all the games are played in Adelaide. I think it's a very exciting idea, which is quite nice. And also glad there's no games to have to worry about going to this week here, because it's going to be very wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the losers are Hills Hoist lovers. It's a terrible weekend for laundry. Such a terrible weekend. I think of that because weekend is when I do all of my professional health uniform laundering, so I'm looking forward to my moldy remembrance on Monday, what fun we'll have in my wet uniform that I'm wearing right now.
The weekend to have a dryer. Who were the winners and losers, Colin?
Well, I feel like I was the winner because I did the Three Capes Walk.
Wow.
Over just before Easter and down in Tasmania, and wow, it's just magic. That's just winner town down there. Beautiful.
Did your body manage to cope with it?
Yes. Now my kids came with me, and the sedan chair is the Bush sedan chair. It's an aluminium and canvas, like it's ultra lightweight, but it's very good. Okay. Yeah, so that was the winner. And I don't have a loser because I'm just full of goodwill.
Well, that's lovely, isn't it?
What do I do with these last 30 seconds, Colin?
No, I advertised Jennifer Wong's show. It's called The Sweet and Sour Hour of Power. It's on May 2 to 4 at the Comedy Store in Moore Park. And I ask you to thank Colin Buchanan, Tommy Dean, and Jennifer Wong. Thank you for braving all the wet weather to be part of TJF. Next week we'll have Tommy, Rebecca De Unamuno and Tahir. Music from the swing legend Greg Arthur. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. And thank God it's Friday!